I find a very unique thing when it comes to prophecy. There are folks who love it and those who just soon you skipped it. So I'm assuming as I speak here tonight, there are those who love it and those who just soon we skip it. But God wants me, and I believe God wants you, to understand the entire Word of God and to at least to read it and allow it to penetrate into our heart and soul. One of the things when I come to the book of Revelation is I like for it to do more than just give us understanding of the end time, but also to give us some heartfelt realization of where we're at. Particularly as we looked at the seven letters to the seven churches, we saw some things that were very, very hard to take in some regards. Things that tell us that we need to shore up some things. And as I look at those chapters and review them, they just penetrate my heart over and over. As we come now to chapters 4 and 5, we are going to have the privilege to look into the very throne room of God. In doing so, we have the privilege to behold the holiness of God. One of the things we find when we behold the holiness of God is we realize our unholiness. If there's something that you and I ought to note, it is how great He is and how ungreat we are. He is truly the one that ought to get our praise, and certainly we see that in these two chapters. If you would tonight read with me, we're going to start in verse number 1. There's 11 verses to chapter 4. I want to read them in their entirety and then go back and look at them one or two at a time. Make a few remarks and ask God to teach us some things tonight. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You. We have the blessed privilege to read of this Your Word. Lord, You've even said that You would bless us for reading this book. And we ask tonight that You would bless the preaching of it. And Lord, that You would glorify Yourself in each of our hearts as we behold this beautiful scene. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we read the epistles, we will find in different places, scattered throughout them, trends that our world is going through. We find that in those epistles, it tells us about the ages that we're the age that we live in and how things will multiply and get itself worse and worse. We find that it speaks of such great events in the future of the rapture and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, however, we find as we come to the book of Revelation some very specific events. We find here in chapters 4 and 5 that the Lord is revealing to us what is to happen, it seems, immediately after the churches. Notice it says, after this. After what? These seven churches, their letters that were given to them. Notice, go back with me to chapter number 1 and verse number 19. And when he told him to write, notice what he says, write the things which thou hast seen. He had just seen a wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's recorded in verses previous. He says, in the things which are, we know that these churches were in existence at that very time. And then he says, and the things which shall be, notice that term, hereafter. Almost exactly the same term now in verse number 4, the things that are hereafter. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. We find to one of the churches, the door was open. We find to another that Jesus was on the outside, knocking at a door. But here we find the door to heaven is open. And there is, it says here, a voice which I heard, it was like a trumpet. In other places we find that that is given to us a description of the voice of God. Talking, it says, with me. And notice what he says, come up hither. Come up hither. So after these churches and the letters written to them, he is told to come up hither. I believe that we have in these remarks really demonstrated to us in the person of John what we would call the rapture. You and I are going to hear the voice of God. We're going to hear the trump of God as it sounds. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that is a near event. Perhaps can happen this year. As I spoke to my cousin this week, he said to me, he says, I hope the rapture's this year. He says, I want out of this place. I'm tired of all the malarkey that's going on in my country. And he says, I'm hoping the Lord's just coming this year. I don't know when he's coming, but I do know this. It's nearer than when I first believed. And I believe it is upon us and very close at hand. And so we find here a picture, I believe, of that. Come up hither, I will show thee things which must, what? Be hereafter. Well, what's happened to churches? Well, some of them had their candlestick removed. We saw that. We saw some like Thyatira who were cast into great tribulation because of their sin. But others like Philadelphia have been kept from the hour of temptation. A picture of what I believe is going to take place very soon with God's people. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that change. Most of you know Patty, who has been coming back recently, and Pat J, Janet Levitch, if you want to try to figure out her name. And she's telling me that this Wednesday she's going to have the rest of her teeth pulled out. She said, would you really pray for me this Wednesday? And I imagine she wouldn't be too unhappy if the rapture took place before that happened. But if it happens afterwards, we know one thing. Those teeth that are pulled out, God's going to find them and put them back in. And one of the great things is that I think they'll probably be aligned right. I don't know how hers are, but I hope mine gets straightened out in glory. Amen. But the Lord is coming back. The Bible teaches us in John 14:3. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. By the way, it's not heaven so much that it's Christ. Matter of fact, as we look here and we behold the throne room of God, it's really about Him. It's not all the ornateness of it so much. It's He that we ought to see as the focus of this entire chapter. Oh, we see certainly a beautiful display of lights. He is the light of the place. He's the sun, if you please, S-U-N as well as S-O-N. He is the light of heaven. And all the majestic, beautiful array that we're going to see with the stones and so forth, as all of that light is ricocheted and going throughout all of eternity. What a beautiful sight it will be. But it's really all about Him. Notice verse number 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Paul had been translated into space when we find that he was caught up into the third heaven. But here we find that John was not only translated into space, but as we know right now, at least 2,000 years in time, he was taken forward as he saw that great and wondrous day. It tells us here that he was a throne was set in heaven. That is an implication. If we understand the Greek, which none of us really do, but I understand what Greek scholars say, that is telling us that it is set, it's brought nearer to earth. It is that which is about to bring judgment to this old world of ours. And certainly, quite possibly, this throne that he speaks of might be the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I are taken to His presence, and we are judged for those things that we have done in our bodies. The Bible says in Romans 14:10, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." That judgment seat is not to find out if you're saved or lost. That has taken place when you got saved. It's to find out what God is going to reward you with. We'll not do it tonight, but you can study your Bible and find out there are crowns that are going to be given, I believe, at that day. Those crowns, as represented, as we'll see at the last verse of this chapter, by the 24 elders, those crowns, I believe, are rewards that you and I have as a result of our labors for Him. Some might receive many, some might receive but one, some may not receive any. But that is certainly at the judgment seat of Christ. We find in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So you and I have that wonderful privilege to stand before that throne of God and be judged according to our works. For not judgment, but rewards. Every year in school we have an award ceremony and we pass out some trophies. And every year there are those who earn those trophies. Every year there are some who set to not receive any or receive a certificate or this or that. It's not that which is punishment. It is not that which is given as a result of what we've, punishment for what we've not done, but rewarded for what we have done. And so we find that this throne is set, and one sat on the throne. Verse number 3 says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone." So we're going to notice some of the beauty of the one who is sitting there. He says, "like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throat, a throne in sight like an emerald." You got your imagination working just a little bit. Here we find this rainbow, not in an arch, but one that encircles it. One that is complete circle. And this particular rainbow is primarily green, which, by the way, represents freshness. We find that he is like unto a sardis, or a sardius. It is a ruby, if you please, and a jasper. When you go back to the end of the book of the Revelation, you find that jasper is that which is crystal clear, most believing, most likely, that it is a diamond. Those two particular stones were the first and the last one born on the vesture of the high priest. They represented the first and the last of the sons of Jacob. And may I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the first and He is the last. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. We also notice that ruby. It reminds us of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. And the diamond, which is most precious, we find of all the stones. And round about, of course, that rainbow showing the covenant of God. And though He is about to judge this world, we find that that covenant be there to remind us of His mercy. The book of Habakkuk says this in chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. That's our God. Even in wrath, He is merciful. And that covenant be there as a reminder of that. Verse number 4 says, And round about the throne were 24 seats. That word seats is the same word as throne. And upon the seats, in the Greek, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They're in positions of rule, like unto our Lord who sits upon a throne. Who are these 24 elders? Some believe that they might be angels. However, I do not believe that personally. The term elder always refers to men, and normally men who are chosen to represent or be leaders of the people. Angels are described in the book of Hebrews as ministering spirits. Who they are is evidently not completely known to us, though they must be redeemed men. They're in white. And they have upon their heads crowns. Perhaps this is immediately after that great white, or not great white throne, but the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's members of all of those who are Christians, all of those who are saved, who have had particularly well-deserved works. I do not know who they are, but we do find certainly they are representative of all of us. Out of that throne, verse 5 said, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Although this throne is surrounded by the covenant of the rainbow, nonetheless, we find it is a throne that most likely, as we will notice, is that of judgment. It tells us here, lightning proceeds from it. Thundering proceeds from it. I remember as I grew up, my neighbor was deathly scared of storms. And when the lightning would begin to strike outside and the thunder would clap, here's a grown woman who had children who were my age, would run to her bed and grab her pillow and put it over her head and just be absolutely scared to death. I remember a number of years ago before she passed away, she was in her 70s at this time, and I saw her one day, and I just kind of teased her a little bit. I said, "Do you still run and hide when the storms come?" And she said, "No, not anymore, but they still frighten me." And we ought to be a little frightened of lightning. And the thunder is certainly telling us lightning is out there. And we find that certainly when it strikes, it can have a dangerous effect upon whatever it strikes. And so we find this throne of God, the lightning comes from it. And notice also it tells us here there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne. Here we find it speaks of the Holy Spirit of God, not in His comforting position, but we find Him here in a position of judgment and talks about 7 lamps. I believe in reference to the book of Isaiah chapter 11, where it talks about His sevenfold ministry. In verse number 2 of that chapter, it says, And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let's understand something. The comforter of those who love Him is also the consumer of those who hate Him. Here's the throne of God. Verse 6 and 7 says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." First of all, we notice that there was a sea. There was a sea in the temple, by the way, and it was basically a large basin of water by which the priest would cleanse himself. Here in the throne of God, here in the midst of heaven, that sea is now a sea of glass. For we find that the cleansing has already taken place. And upon this sea, one could walk into the very presence of Almighty God. We find around about that throne are some creatures. They're called beasts here. They're not animals, but they are created beings. They are created most likely very much like the four cherubims of the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 1, verse number 10 of Ezekiel, it says, "And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, the four had the face of an eagle." And so we find that Ezekiel had seen something similar. We find the same thing with Isaiah. And now with John, as he sees these beasts round about the throne of God. Let's go a little farther as we look here in verse 8. It says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." These beasts have one particular job, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Go back with me to the book of Isaiah, and let's notice chapter 6, the book of Isaiah and chapter 6. We notice here in this chapter another rendition. I want to read verses 1 through 7. Book of Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. It begins in verse number 1, and it tells us here, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon" what? "A throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims," not called cherubims, but seraphims here. "Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." What a tremendous picture we have of these beasts as they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." As we look and we behold the time frame, we know that 600, 700, 800 years had passed in between those two prophecies. I believe still at the throne of God, because this is projected at the rapture, they are still what proclaiming the wonderful holiness of God. I believe the greatest attribute of God, as is proclaimed day and night, forever and forever. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. I want you to notice something else. Chapter number 28. The book of Ezekiel. And chapter number 28. Beginning in verse number 11. Ezekiel 28 verse 11 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." In other words, this is not a good thing. "And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now let me ask you a question tonight. The king of Tyrus, was he that old? Or does he speak of another, whom Tyrus is an illustration? I believe he speaks of another. He says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Notice what it says in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that what? Covereth. We saw four beasts, four cherubim, four seraphim, if you please, round about the throne. But here in verse number 14, he describes one that covers that throne. That is interesting. It goes on and says, I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. I believe God has just described to us the fifth cherub, which was none other than Lucifer or Satan. And sin brought him down from that high exalted position. Did you notice what it says about him? The beauty that he had. Did you notice that he was even a living musical instrument? Thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. God had initially prepared him to bring glory to himself. But Satan, in his pride and his arrogance, lifted himself up and believed that he was greater than God. He says in another place, I will be like him. What a shame that that took place. Well, as we finish out the chapter, noticing verses 9, 10, 11, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, well, the signal must be given. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Again, I don't know who these 24 are. Some believe they're the 12 apostles and leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. I particularly don't believe that is so. But nonetheless, these 12, they throw their crowns at the feet of Jesus who deserve it. Those crowns, which I believe were that which they had earned themselves for their works upon the earth, they say, Lord, you're the one who is able. That may be a picture what you and I have the privilege to do as well. And to be able in that moment to take that which God has awarded us with and say, Lord, you're the one who's worthy. You're the one to whom this really ought to go. And notice verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I want you to notice the song that is being sung. It's a song about the God of creation. In chapter number 5, it'll be a song about the redemption He has provided for us. Do we understand tonight that if we don't believe Him as Creator, we can't believe Him as Redeemer? Do we understand tonight that it is imperative that you and I know that He created everything? Why is it that this world wants to take away that? Why is it this world tries to teach our young people that man created God in our own minds? Why is that? Well, I believe it's because of this one that we call Lucifer and one we call Satan, the devil. As he walked away from God, he sought to blind the minds and the hearts of men and women around the world. And thus we have folks who believe that we came about by all kinds of means. Many say, well, science teaches us that we have evolved. I'll make a statement tonight. Science does not teach us that. Conjecture teaches us that. The facts of science are taken and misused. Do you realize that when you take a creationist and you take an evolutionist and put them in the same room and have them debate one another, the evolutionist always loses? Because he cannot take the facts and use them wisely. God's the Creator. Thou hast created all things. And notice the purpose, for thy pleasure. They are and were created. It's for His pleasure. That word pleasure there also speaks of His will. It was by His will. God brought it about. Why did God create us? Because He wanted to. Why did He recreate us? Because He wanted to. What do we get to behold one of these days? A beautiful scene. That scene ought to propel us in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to lift our hearts and our eyes to the One who has done so much. And help us to realize there's a world that needs to know about the Creator and the Redeemer. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, we thank You so much for these wondrous words of description. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment of the meanings and all that we can study here in these few verses. Lord, so much has been written and said about these, and yet we cannot even fathom the wondrous beauty of your person. But, oh God, one of these days we get to see You. And Lord, we pray that before that time comes that we might occupy, that we might be busy about Your work. Oh God, help us to be as these cherubim, those who proclaim the holiness of God. As they do it in heaven, that we might do it here on earth. To a lost and dying world that needs to see that God is very real. Not just a man upstairs, not one to ridicule or to make fun of. But He is truly, and You are God. Bless and work in our hearts tonight. For I pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen.